Welcome back to Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to episode number 2. The bun is going to be baking. We're going to start this pregnancy journey. So we're going to be talking about, you know, some different changes Jordan definitely had and just kind of different changes in our family, but kind of between the both of us. So basically to start it off, Jordan, did you like being pregnant? How was it?
I loved being pregnant. I am very blessed and very thankful that I never threw up once. I got a little nauseous, but I had a very smooth, easy pregnancy, and I'm so thankful for it. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it too. I think what the body endures is actually pretty amazing, along with everything's exciting and you're getting ready to have a kid and all these different types of things that are all going on at once. You're trying to prepare, you're scared crapless and all those things. So, but for the most part, you know, we had a pretty chill pregnancy, I'd say. You know, we've talked about it.
Yeah, it was easy. I mean, planning for it, just the body, like you mentioned earlier, the body does so much and it's so crazy. It's fun to see on various apps or Googling what size the baby is this week, what's developing this week, all the different changes. And I enjoyed sharing them with you. I'm sure you probably got annoyed sometimes of like, oh, the baby's the size of a blueberry this week or whatever. But it's just fun to see and learn about what's going on in your body, especially when you're before you can have any of the feelings and the kickings and stuff. It's fun to see what's going on.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. And, you know, apps, I mean, you had how many apps on your phone? It was
only
a lot.
Only a few. It was only a couple.
Only a couple?
Yeah.
Every day it was like, or it was at least once a week. Oh yeah, it's a grapefruit. Oh, it's a pear. Oh, it's a kiwi. Oh, it's, we even had to look up some of the stuff because we didn't even know what the heck it was called. But anyway, so kind of getting into it here, you had a lot of giggle sessions. That's probably one of my favorite things of your whole pregnancy is you became a giggle box. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, I probably had less than a handful of emotional things going on, but I did have more giggly than more cry. And I'm sure you were very thankful for that. Were you thankful that I was more happy and giggly than a crying mess?
It was pretty comical because you could tell the stupidest joke that you would never think you'd laugh on, and you'd spend 3 minutes laughing on.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you would have thought I was the Kevin Hart of the household or something. I mean, it was crazy. But no, that was probably one of my most favorite things is you had different laughs too. Like there's some of those laughs you only get like once in a while when you really get Jordan going, then she really gets into that laugh. But it didn't take anything. I was like a comedian god at that point.
And it would just go on. Like I would still laugh about it way after everyone else is done laughing, or even if they've like, there's times where I'm laughing and no one else is laughing and they're looking at me like, what's so funny? And I just keep going. So that I did find that fun. I feel like I'm repeating myself. There wasn't very many super emotional times. Obviously there's a lot of emotions building up, hormones and running through my body. But yeah, the giggle was pretty fun. I did have, when we go back to like early pregnancy and when we were just finding out, like before we had any kicks or anything like that, I did have some normal cramping. Not anything too bad. I had to Google it for sure to see if that was normal and ask my friends, of course. I was a little nauseous at times where I just feel like I needed to eat. If my stomach kind of hurt and I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling the greatest, I would usually go get a snack or sit down for a little bit and then I'd be okay. So there are times where I did pack snacks with me. If we were going shopping, if we were going to one of our parents or someplace, I'd have a snack in my bag that I could eat. And other than that, like the nauseousness went away. I had medicine from the doctor. Remember when I got medicine from the doctor to go on our trip to Hawaii, but I think I used it once and that was about it.
Yeah, for the most part, it wasn't too bad. The nice part, I think, for both of us was you never really got sick. I mean, you had some, if I remember right, now you can clarify all this, but if I remember right, you had some mornings where you didn't feel the best, but it wasn't to where it like drug you down. It didn't last very long.
No, I was fatigued early on where it was also summer. So thankfully I wasn't working then. But I might go and load in the washer of clothes or laundry. And then after I got done, that's like, man, I need to sit down. And I'd sit down for a little bit and then I'd get some energy and I could go do something else. But I did get fatigued. And it was kind of weird for me because it almost felt lazy. Like I was lazy. Like, why can't I do this? But then I had to remind myself, this is normal. This is okay. And to listen to my body and take a rest when I needed to.
I mean, yeah. So, and I would say, you know, back on the nauseous one, just real quick to put in there, it seemed like eating usually helped. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you just had a little snack of a cheese stick or something, yeah. It seemed like it helped with that nausea as well. So,
yeah, there are times, but there are times when if I just got done eating supper, it's like if I ate too fast, there would be maybe a 20-minute window where my stomach hurt, like felt bloated. And then I kind of would have to wait for that to pass, drink some water, rest, and it would go away. But overall, I'm very thankful that I didn't get sick and I didn't have a pregnancy that was unenjoyable.
Yeah. And speaking of rest, let's get into the sleeping subject because that's usually is always talked about in pregnancies. Some have a lot of sleep and some don't get much sleep. Some end up snoring. I mean, you hear all sorts of people talk about different things. How do you think you got enough sleep? How was your sleep during it?
I feel like my sleep was overall really good until probably the last month. I was able to sleep in the normal positions for the first 4 months. Or so once I started, yeah, it would probably be about like 16 weeks or so. When I started to get kind of a pooch, then I would turn to my side. I am a stomach and a back sleeper. So it was actually really hard for me to adjust to sleeping on my side. That's when the good old Amazon Prime Days pregnancy pillow came in.
Oh, that's
Corey's
son of a gun.
Enemy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys, they kind of refer to the OB or the doctor to be their arch nemesis. But, you know, I think my arch nemesis was this damn pillow.
I don't understand why you hated it so much because I stayed on my half of the bed.
But the pillow was right up against the line and it just felt like it was touching me. No matter what way I oriented myself, whether it was my, you know, it ended around the knee because I think it went in between your legs. So mm-hmm. It ended around my knee, but like my torso would touch it all the time because I'm a front sleeper all the time for the most part. And so my shoulders are always, you know, widthwise and I would always just hit and then it just, you sit so much higher than me. It felt like it wasn't like sleeping next to me. It just felt like you were sleeping next to a pillowed wall is what it felt like.
Poor you.
Man. For all the guys out there listening, you both can suffer in pregnancy. So don't let the women steal all the thunder, you know? So there are some things you can complain about it. You have that right now. Yeah, your body's not going through those changes. I'm not saying that part of it, but that dang pillow.
You were glad when that thing left.
Oh, man. I'm so glad when we vacuum packed that sucker and stuck it in the basement. It's like, see you later, son. Like, I don't really care to see you later, but whatever.
It will come back. Don't worry.
Maybe someday.
But yeah, that pillow helped. Especially if you, I would say if you're a stomach sleeper or a back sleeper, the pregnancy pillow did help provide some support to your stomach and your back to help you sleep on your side. The sleep that I got was fairly normal. I mean, as pregnancy went on, I might get up to go to the bathroom a little bit more, but I specifically remember the day it was back to school in service from winter break. And that night I was up almost every hour. And it wasn't like that for the entire length of the rest of the pregnancy, but when you're getting a little bit more uncomfortable anyway, you get up. I remember waking up, I'd go to the bathroom, come back, rotate. I felt like a rotisserie chicken, just rotating sides throughout the night to stay comfortable. But I did get a decent amount of sleep, I would say.
Yeah, what I remember you complaining about getting sleep was mainly like the last couple months. It started kind of taking a little more toll, you could tell, because, you know, you're just like, man, I didn't get the sleep that I wanted to last night. And, you know, you can, on the weekends and stuff, I think we combated with naps once in a while. I mean, it's not like we're not really nappers. We really don't take naps during the day, like very rarely. It's a handful of times throughout the year that we'll take a nap. And I think you combated it with that a little bit too.
The other thing that kind of was not helpful with sleep, and we can talk about this a little bit more of some of the restrictions in a little bit, but I was very congested in pregnancy, and then it was also the winter and I can't take decongestants. So that not being able to breathe as I normally would tacked on to sleep wasn't the greatest combination.
Yeah. No, for overall though, it was a good pregnancy. You know, as your belly was growing, you know, at what point did you have to start kind of looking for some different clothes or start figuring out how do I still go to work and function daily along with, you know, being able to be somewhat properly clothed, you know, just somewhat?
I always like comfy clothes. Anything that's soft, anything that's comfy, I've always liked that. And the good thing about our pregnancy was I was big, I mean, quotes, at the big stages of pregnancy in the fall and winter. So I had a lot of sweatshirts and hoodies and leggings and sweats. And I really didn't have to buy a ton of maternity clothes. Yes, this was my first pregnancy, so I didn't get bigger until probably the last month was when I was felt like I was big. So I could usually wear like sweats or high-waisted wet leggings and an oversized shirt. I did buy some shirts that were a size up versus getting a maternity shirt. Stretchy pants, those are great. At work, I had some maternity leggings.
Well, and that's so.
And the tops weren't really that bad.
Yeah, and then so just for if you guys haven't listened to that first episode, we kind of covered this, but you know she is a teacher, so you have to dress a little more professional maybe than some other jobs. I know jobs, you know, you still want to dress professionally, but teaching there's just a little different attire it seemed like, and for the most part the school was fine with wearing some of that.
I didn't have any issues, and I kind of got to that point was like if someone wants to come and talk to me about what I'm wearing, then like. Go for it. I think there's kind of that other thing. That's like, oh, she's pregnant, so we'll let it slide. It's not that I wasn't professional or dressed appropriately. I was definitely in comfier clothes. I also get up and down off the floor a lot. And I think there's some flexibility in my job with that too, to know that, hey, like give her some grace. She's pregnant. Everything is covered and she's not wearing anything inappropriate. So it's fine.
So you did get some maternity pants. You opted in to get some.
I had maternity leggings. I did have maternity jeans, and I bought some from a friend. But maternity jeans, I could never wear them right. When I got big enough to where I couldn't wear my own jeans. And then but maternity jeans were still too big. They were baggy. I was in that weird stage of not being able to fit into my own clothes, but maternity clothes didn't fit right either. I will tell you, if you don't know the ponytail hack with your jeans, that's your best friend. Just Google the ponytail hack with pants, but any pants that have like a button and a zip button closure, you can wrap a ponytail around one and it expands the waist. So you can still wear your pants a little bit longer. There have been some times though at lunch at work where I would unbutton my pants just to give myself a little bit of a breather before I got back with the working with some kids. But yep, that I was able to expand my own clothes that way.
I was going to say, you know, for all the guys listening, you know, sometimes we eat a big dinner. You know, I think I might try that ponytail hack on my jeans next time, you know, just might
try it out.
I might need to do that, you know, just to, you know, usually you get the, you know, you can get your ratchet belt anymore instead of, you know, the holes, that works wonders. Now I'm thinking maybe I need to take that a step farther. So some of you guys out there putting on them support pounds to support your ladies and your pregnant ladies. Yeah. I feel it for you. I'd try it.
It just gives you a little bit of extra breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you just undo it and you can be back to where you need to be. But when we were talking about teaching and I'm up and down off the floor a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I like to be comfortable, and you know, when pregnancy has a way of you just adapt to what works and what doesn't work. I remember trying to tie my tennis shoes and it's like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Like I can't reach down and tie my shoe. So I learned to put my leg like I'm sitting, you know, with your leg up. I don't know how to explain it, but like that. So then you can tie your shoe on the side. And getting up off the floor, I'm sure my 5 and 6 year olds that I worked with were probably like, what in the world is Mrs. Welch doing? Cause I would like lean forward to my hands and then I'd get on my knees and then I could stand up that way. You just find your own ways to get what needs to be done.
Probably like, man, she needs to work out. She's out of shape. She's having a puffing.
I think I'm telling like, hang on, Mrs. Welch, wait for me. I got to get up off the floor here. So you just find your body, you find ways to adapt to your growing body.
So when you got to the point where you couldn't hardly tie your shoe, like what does that feel like? Like, is it just a big belly in the way? Yeah, or
there's like a big belly in your way and you can't reach your foot.
Can you breathe? Cause you know, half the time I felt like
not
you were
when
trying
you're
to
in that
hold
position.
You were trying to hold your breath sometimes and usually you get it and you're like, that's what I remember.
I remember having you tie my shoes sometimes too, or you take them off because it was, I couldn't, oh, sorry, I moved my mic and I didn't mean to. I think I used to tie my shoes, like I'd sit on the bed or I'd sit on the couch and I'd tie my shoes. And I couldn't do that anymore. I'd have to sit on the floor. Sitting on the floor, I was at a different level that I could reach better. But yeah, when you try to do it your normal way, your belly's in the way and you just, it's just weird. Like you look down at your stomach and you're like, oh, well, okay. Like your brain starts thinking, how am I going to get this done?
Mm-hmm.
How can I do this? I can't move this way anymore. I can't reach that over here. So what am I going to, how can I get it done? Utilize your husband's too. Like there's times I've seen memes on Facebook where they're like, my husband, or how I act when my husband's home. And then me when my husband's gone and you're pregnant and you're doing all your normal things. But then when your husband's home, oh, you need help because you can't do it.
I was going to say, you know, I have trouble trying to get flexible with you know, my pregnant belly that I have right now. You know, it seems like it doesn't deflate anymore. But I can understand some of your issues for sure. So anyway, switching subjects, the hormones, you know, obviously, you know, as you get pregnant, your hormone levels, they start increasing pretty drastically. And that can change the personality in a person for sure. I know what you are like. I'm just curious to get your version first to see what you say you were like.
I feel overall, I was pretty good to you. but I do know I was definitely more irritable and I had less patience. Even at work, I would like have to take a deep breath because I'm just getting frustrated so easily. And then I would apologize to the students. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I get frustrated easily. Let me take a break. Let me get a drink. And I teach social skills too. So I felt like that was a good way that I could model that, like, hey, I need a break. I'm getting frustrated. I was able to tie it into teaching, you know, but I definitely noticed my patience was not there. I would get really irritated on little minor things. And I do remember you saying, Jordan, it's okay. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, I can't remember actual specifics, but they were something that just was not a key priority at the time. They were very minor things that would just tick you off. My favorite story of you being irritable, I think you probably remember pretty quick, is one time I was on the phone, got home from work, was on the phone, and I walked through the garage, opened the garage door, and Jordan is in the kitchen, and she is doing something around the fridge. Can't remember if you were in the fridge or if you might have been in the fridge. But anyway, I walk in and I like glance over at her, you know, kind of like say, hey, like I'm home. And she just gives me the biosh glance, like, oh, okay. And I'm like, okay, like that's odd, you know? And so I had to go back to the truck, get some more stuff. And I made another trip back in, and I'm on the phone the whole time too. Like I'm on the phone with a customer, an employee, can't remember. But anyway, I was on the phone and I'm sitting there. I get back into the house and I look over at her again to, you know, just, she was in the same spot, and I look over there and she like looks at me and she's had this real pissed look. I mean, just like, and I couldn't tell what the problem was. And so I mouth to her, 'cause I'm on the phone. I'm like, are you mad at me? Like, what are you mad about? And you're just like, nope, I'm not mad at you. And so I'm like, okay, just a pregnancy thing. She's pissed about something. And I think once we got off the phone, I asked her, I'm like, what are you so mad about? You're just like, I don't know.
I do remember that situation. And there was several very minor things that really irritated me prior to that. And I do remember I was putting groceries away in the fridge, and you looked around the fridge and you mouthed, are you mad? And I remember saying yes. And then you mouthed back at me. And then I said, no. And you were saying something about like, what's the matter? And I remember saying, I don't know. Like, I was just mad and irritated and I had no idea why.
Yep. And that was when I was like, all right, it is what it is. It's one of those things. Just in, you know, for guys out there, if you got, you know, wives that are that way, it's sometimes just best to just leave, you know, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Come back. They're generally a different person then. That'd be my key dad tip, I guess. From a last thing to kind of cover hormones, you never really just, you weren't the one that just broke down and cried during pregnancy. You never just cried randomly or anything like that. So we didn't have any of that. It was more irritable and some stuff like that. But, so kind of leading up to that story, it kind of ties into the next thing is, you know, just wanted to talk about, you know, the guide during pregnancy. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with, you know, your girlfriend, wife, et cetera, partner, whatever you call her. I just want to say, you know, the best thing probably to do is just go with the flow. You're going to notice different changes about them, not just physically, mentally. You're going to notice different changes. You got to be the supporting guy there to just support them, know that those changes are going to happen, and just go with the flow of those changes. You know, you can't combat something that they don't mean, you know, whether Jordan would spout off or, you know, like that time we just talked about. It's like, are you mad at me? If she was mad at me, it'd be like, okay, well, then why? But you know, sometimes they just can't help stuff. You know, they are a little more irritable and stuff. You got to accommodate that. If you're somewhere and they're irritated about something, then just hurry up, finish eating, doing whatever you're doing, leave that place, you know, just let them decompress sometimes. Or, you know, if they are the crying type, be the shoulder to cry on, you know, You wait till we talk about after you have the kid. There's a big hormone crash there that's going to come up too. So just be that guy that's going to be the crying shoulder. You're kind of going to be that rock that they're going to have to lean on. So I would say that'd be the best advice that I could give you, is just be that pillar there for them to push on, lean on, cry on, whatever they want to do. So.
And you were very good at that. Like, I give props to you. You were exactly what you said. That's how you were. And you were great at that and being there for me. Since obviously you couldn't feel the baby like I could, and I could feel the baby before you, what were your thoughts like when you could finally feel the baby kick or move around? Did you feel a little bit more connected, or did you feel like, okay, this is real?
No, I can't say there was like a big connection there. I mean, it was more like, okay, something's in there moving, like there is a kid there. It's just, you know, I don't know. What I would say, without spoiling maybe some future episodes, is me before delivery day versus me like immediately after delivery day, two different guys. I mean, they do two different guys. So that part, and did I feel a connection? Not really. No, I didn't. Was it cool to feel, you know, the kid kick and all that stuff? Oh, absolutely. Did I have to do it all the time? No. I remember you specifically being like, hey, don't you want to touch me? I'm like, nah, like it's all right. It's all right. You know, so.
You did like when the baby was really moving around and you could see it on my stomach, or, you know, when you would like rub my stomach a certain way and then the baby would move. That was fun to see too. So there are some ways that the guy can be involved and connected even when they're not physically experiencing that piece.
Yeah. And, but Jordan, she, one thing she did like about pregnancy is she ate, and she got good food. It didn't matter. Whatever she wanted, she pretty much got. So let's hear what do you have for cravings? What did you have?
A lot of people ask me this, and the one thing that I go back to was Stouffer's mac and cheese. Like the frozen $3 one from Walmart. You pop in the microwave for 2 minutes, mix it up, cut the film to vent it. That's what I liked. And I had a lot of those in the summer for lunch. I really just kind of went with whatever felt good. Coming up with supper was difficult. I do remember getting groceries at the store for a certain supper we were going to have that night. And halfway on my drive home from work, I was like, nope, that doesn't sound good anymore. So then we went to plan B. So definitely our suppers were more geared towards what sounded good for me versus what sounded good for you.
Yeah. And I remember you had the weirdest stuff, like the things that were good. I mean, we'd like make smash burgers on the Blackstone. It's like,
no,
disgusting. I'm almost going to throw up thinking about it. That's what you told me. Tacos, something as simple as making tacos.
It was the ground beef. I don't know. It was weird. Like I could eat a taco at Taco Bell or any other Mexican restaurant, but tacos at home, no. Hamburgers at home? No, but I'd go eat a Freddy's burger for sure. Yeah. It was odd. So I would just say, and as my doctor said, eat what you can eat. You need to eat. So obviously you want to try to be healthy and try to get the good nutrients that you need, but ultimately you need to eat. So.
And I would say, so along with you eating, there were some restrictions that you did have as well. You want to talk just on a couple of those maybe?
Yeah, a few of them. Fish, and I know that there's certain fish. I really don't know the aspects of that, but fish, cold cuts. I wasn't a huge cold cut fan anyway, so that didn't really bother me. Obviously alcohol, which really wasn't hard for me because I don't drink a whole lot anyway. That's kind of summed up hot dogs, which would go into the cold cuts. But those are the food ones that I just tried to be aware of. And then certain medications that you can and can't take. That was hard. Like with a sinus infection was harder. Headaches, just trying to be more aware of what you're putting in your body. And then physically, like lifting things and the way that you move your body. Ask for help if you need it. Don't push the limits. And always ask your doctor too if you are unsure of what you can and can't do, because they will guide you and help you through that as well.
Yeah. The one I remember most you probably hated was caffeine. You had to watch caffeine.
Yeah. I switched to a decaf coffee in the morning, so I still had the same taste, but it did take a little bit for my body to switch from, hey, I got this caffeine every morning, to now I don't. I love a good cherry Pepsi. I would have those every once in a while, but I was trying to drink more water, and I like bubblers. So
is that where that started, or was that before? I can't remember.
I liked bubblers before, but I feel like it kind of kicked into overdrive because I'm like, it's water. I know I need to be drinking water. And if I'd have to drink two bubblers a day just to get some extra water in, I don't really care. But that was kind of it. Caffeine wasn't too difficult, but just trying to drink the water was hard.
Yeah. So, a couple, you know, we're going to have another episode that's going to talk about maybe some products that we like, dislike, things that we use, never use, those types of things. But, you know, before, you know, kind of the last thing I wanted to touch on here was, you know, just the one thing that did drive me nuts, as you're getting ready, you know, before you have this baby, is you probably are going to want to pack a bag, and you probably want to put the car seat in the car. And I'm not going to lie, me as a guy, I thought it was crazy that we had to have the car seat in the car pretty much a month before we went on to basically deliver the kid. I mean, I know it could happen anytime, but I'm just like, that was one thing that did irritate me. It was one of your pregnancy deals. I'll just blame it on that.
That's fine.
But you're just like, well, we need to get this in there. I don't know why our car seat isn't in there. I'm like, it's like a month away. I mean, if it happens overnight, one of the parents can bring it down to the hospital and we'll slap it in or whatever. I mean, I thought that was, it was way too early. I mean, if it was like a, you know, couple weeks around the due date, sure, I could see that. But I did think it was, and I remember having to take it out when we had some friends that we carpooled. And I'm like, really? Here we are taking it back out. And then, oh, heaven forbid, we got done having fun that night. Next day, oh, you better put it back in there.
You know what is funny? A lot of people that have already had a child and are expecting another one. And if I check with them and say, hey, you know, you have things ready, they're like, oh, well, I don't have the car seat in yet. But so that is something that I probably was like super hyper fixated on, that, you know what, as long as it's in the car, just or grab it on your way to the hospital, you can install it in the hospital parking lot if you have to. It's okay.
And I would say one of the key things, but before you go, you know, whether you're getting induced, having a C-section, you know, if it's a planned thing where you're going to go have the baby that day, you know, if it's unexpected, can't really do this. But somebody gave us the advice the day before we went in to get induced was just take that day off and just be you guys, because you won't have that for quite some time. You know, just go, just relax, just be you two, because in a few, you know, in a couple days or
hours,
you know, multiple hours now, it's not going to be that way. And I would encourage everybody to do that. I think that was nice. That's something I haven't forgotten it yet, put it that way.
Yeah. I remember as I was getting closer and I wasn't 100% ready to be gone at work yet, leaving every night, like, okay, I mean, I think I'm going to be back in the morning, but it was a little bit of anxiousness inside of me of like, oh, I might not be back and I don't have everything ready. It was just my own personal thing of just knowing that I wasn't ready, and it bothered me. But back to what you had said.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we didn't even do anything that day.
No, we went out to eat. That's right. So we took the afternoon off.
Oh, that's right.
The day before we got induced, we took the afternoon. My mom was like, just go to work. You're just going to get nervous and you're just going to worry if you're staying at home all day by yourself. And to an extent, she was right. I mean, I would be thinking about trying to get everything done at the house or trying to get ready. And then other people had took the day off, especially if they have other kids. And they just took that last day off and spent that time with that kid. Is maybe that's the kid's last day of being an only child or having two siblings before another one's being born. So we did. We took off the afternoon. We went and ate at a local restaurant in town, came home, just kind of relaxed and enjoyed the last little bit before our big morning the next day.
Yeah, which it was pretty early. So we did go to bed kind of early that night. So, but yeah, I would encourage, if you have the PTO, that is something that I did like, even though we didn't do anything. Yeah, you still, I mean, I think it's worth it for sure. But, kind of wrapping up this episode, we went a little longer than the last one. Kind of, you know, as we're getting into this pregnancy thing, there's more things to talk about. So, you know, pregnancy itself can be pretty scary, but not probably as scary as one of the biggest days that you're ever going to have in your entire life. And I mean,
absolutely,
delivery day, which you also hear me refer as D-Day, I like to call it sometimes. So in our next episode, definitely tune in, because that's when we're going to start our journey of delivering. So it's going to be broken up into a two-part series. There is so many details we want to show you guys and so many things that happen that we're remembering. We're going to break it into a two-part episode there. So be on the lookout for that coming up. Also, you know, we do want to thank everybody that is listening to this. Please like, share, subscribe, follow us, leave us a review, give us a comment, all those types of things. And we'll definitely see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for watching.